Amen. I was sitting back there a little earlier and I was thinking about, I wonder how many men, ladies, preachers, evangelists, missionaries have thinking about throwing in the towel and quitting, but come to this meeting over the past 25 years and got reestablished, got relined up with the Lord and the Holy Ghost. And I just, what an encouragement, what a blessing to be here and to get help. And man, the effort that the church, Bible Baptist, puts into this, and what a tremendous host and serving all of these people day in and day out for a week. And man, what a blessing. I just want to say thank you and just a fabulous, fabulous job. If you got your Bibles, I'm going to look at a couple of different portions of Scripture. 2 Corinthians chapter 10 is where we'll start. And no doubt, time will definitely prohibit us from thoroughly studying the subject of the mind, obviously. We're just going to, hopefully the goal and the objective is going to be that it would encourage you, it would challenge you, it would motivate you to go do some homework on your own, to do some study on your own. Listen, we're consumed with information. I mean, we have access to information, and we ought to be careful about just taking anybody's word. And so I'm going to, hopefully it'll encourage you to, the subject matter will, it'll stir something inside of you that it'll motivate you, encourage you to go look a little bit more. And so let me just go to 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and we'll start reading there in verse 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, let's read 3 through 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, the Bible says in verse 3, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God in the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." That's a powerful statement there. If you'll go just a few more pages over to Philippians chapter 4, and if you take those two portions of Scripture and just study them out later in great detail, those are, you could exhaust that and spend some hours there to exhaust that information. But if you will, real quick, I'm going to go ahead and read, beginning in verse 4 of chapter 4 of Philippians. The Bible says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Let your moderation or self-control be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." And verse 8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, and if there be any praise, think on these things." Father, we are no doubt full and been blessed and so many different ways in this meeting. And God, we ask one more time. We've got your book that's perfect. We got your method of preaching. But God, we ask for your help. And God, we ask for your power. We ask for your touch. We ask for your wisdom. Or as we try to relay truth from your book this morning. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for the great privilege to be in your house with your people. In Jesus' name, amen. We understand that everything starts in our mind. Listen, before anybody ever commits a crime, it usually mulls over in their mind for some period of time. Whether it's something that we call, allow ourselves to get overwhelmed and become anxious and have this anxiety that overtakes us. Listen, that originates in our thoughts. That originates in our mind. And listen, some of that is normal and some of that is healthy and some of that's good. That's okay. But let me say that anxiety and depression and those types of things, those are generated and started in the mind on multiple levels. Physically and spiritually. And I'm not going to get the time to go into the different chemicals that your mind releases when different things happen in your life. The serotonin, the dopamine, and these things that the mind, it releases these chemicals. And then, listen, they are tied together. And you can control them by being able to control your mind. But if you allow your mind to go off in a ditch and just roam anywhere it wants to roam, you're going to be in trouble. And if you're not careful, you'll do that as you begin to roam. You'll begin to open doors that you can't close. And I'm telling you that this is a big deal in God, in our society today with, listen, everybody's being influenced from everything, from the social media, the television, the text, the email. I mean, we're just getting overloaded with information and overloaded with people trying to touch and trying to hear and trying to see. Yeah. If we're not careful, we'll end up like Lot. Yeah. Yeah. Vexed. Why? Because of what he saw and what he heard.
That's right.
Hey, if you're going to control your mind, you're going to have to control what you see, and you're going to have to control what you hear. Listen, these emotions that happen in us and these chemical imbalances that do happen and do take place from time to time, it's caused by many things. You can have injuries that can cause this. Medicine can cause that. There can be hormone imbalance.
That's right.
And listen, I understand what the philosophy is today in modern medicine. When a lady goes through a hormone change, they want to give you antidepressants, psychotropic drugs. And too many people are just trusting whatever anybody says. But I'm trying to encourage you today is, hey, don't take anybody's word. Don't take anybody's word when it comes to this modern medicine. Hey, go do your own research. Go do your own study and go find out why that thing says causes suicidal tendency. I thought that's why I was taking that, to get away from that. Be careful. But it's caused by a lot of different things. But let me just tell you what the majority of the problem is today. Everybody wants to think it's a physical problem, but it's a spiritual problem mostly. Oh, there is a physical part of it. There's no doubt. There's injuries. There's things that happen. But the majority of it is a spiritual problem. Let me explain to you how that works. If you are truly a born-again child of God, you have somebody called the Holy Ghost of God that's living inside of you. You're going through life and you want a half in the world and half out of the world. And I mean, you just got turmoil in your heart and turmoil in your head. And I mean, you're just an emotional individual because you're riding the fence.
Yeah.
And you're partaking in this sin and you're partaking in this sin. And next thing you know, man, you're unsettled.
Yeah.
You're anxious.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, you know what that is? That's the Holy Spirit of God inside of you. Hey, making you uneasy. Because you have quenched him, because you have grieved him. But you go to the doctor, he's going to tell you you got a physical problem. But I'm going to tell you, the majority of us have a spiritual problem. It's mostly a spiritual problem. And so I want you to understand that as we go through this portion of scripture here and we look at this here for just a few minutes, and I will be sensitive to time. I recognize there's no way that I can give you 8 different sermons in one. But I'm going to just give you a few things to think about today. I love the 2 Corinthians chapter 10 in verse 5. It said, casting down imaginations. That's thoughts in your mind. Hey, do you know who's the high sheriff? You're in charge of that.
Yep.
And nobody else is in charge of your mind. You are in charge of it. And you know what? You decide what comes in and you decide what leaves. And that book says you ought to cast it. You ought to hurl it. You ought to throw it like a baseball. You ought to get rid of it. But it's in your control. It's nobody else's problem. It's your problem. It's my problem. I've got to deal with it. And you're going to understand that Paul says to take every thought captive, forcibly, forcibly. Make your thoughts obey Christ, to cast it out. And hopefully we'll get some time to get back to that word, cast. But the battle for your spiritual freedom is within your mind. Listen to me. Hey, listen, so many people are hunting freedom and they're looking for freedom. They're looking for peace and they're looking for joy in their heart. I'm going to tell you, you're going to have to control your mind. You're going to have to control what you let in your head. Paul shows us clearly how the adversary works. As we look here in 2 Corinthians, the second letter to the Corinthian church, we see Satan scheming. And in chapter 2, verse 11, it said, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. For we are not ignorant of his devices. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 4 in your Bibles, it says, in whom the God
of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Hey, there's somebody working real hard on your mind. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, 11 and verse 3, if you look at that, you're going to find that your mind will deceive you. If you look back in there in 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, 2 Corinthians 11 and verse 3, look what the Bible says. But I fear, lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Listen, there's a lot of influence on the mind in a lot of different ways. But let me explain something to you as easy as I can. The difference in the brain and the mind. They're two different entities. See, a brain is the gray matter that's in your head. It's got different parts of cerebellum. It's got different parts of the brain that's broken down. But that's the gray matter, the brain that's in your head. But you also have a mind that the Bible talks about. And let me tell you something. You're not going to be a mindless spirit in heaven one day. Your mind's going with you. What do you think? You're just going to be a mindless spirit floating around? Hey, no, the Bible teaches us that that mind's going to carry and it's going to come with us. And so when it comes to the process of human thought, hey, there's still a whole lot that we don't understand, but we definitely know there's a difference between the brain and the difference between the mind. And I want to try to break that down for you here in just a second. But you understand the gray matter inside your head would make up the brain. You have the frontal lobe, you have the cerebellum, you have different parts of it, but it is essentially the matter is something you can touch. The mind you can't touch. But the brain you can touch. Say, the brain is going in the box, in the dirt, in the ground, but the mind is not. The mind refers to a person's understanding of things. The mind refers to the person's thought process. And when you die, your brain will return to dust, but not your mind. Your mind, while connected to your brain, is just not physical. Right. It's just not physical. It's something you can't touch. That's right. And your mind is the real you. Yes. The mind resides within your spirit and within your soul. And for the believer, Paul says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 5, what the Bible say here, let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus. Amen. See, our ability to think and to reason is similar to the way a computer functions. If you know anything about computers, you have hardware and software. Software is something you download on the hardware. Software is something that you can't see per se. Well, you may see the actual disk of loading to load the software in there. But you understand the hardware makes up the motherboard and the different the memory and the RAM and all those different things, right? So they're two different entities. So you have hardware and you have software. And the computer hardware with all of its wires and circuitry is just like the brain. It's the physical part. It's the monitor. It's the box. It's all the things inside the box. That's the hardware, the things that we can touch, the things that we can feel. But the computer is useless without the software. See, programs must be installed on the hardware. The software must be installed. It must be put on, just like this mind must be installed. The software here, if you will, the Word of God, what God has for us and His Spirit has for us. Hey, it's something we have to be sensitive to. So the software we understand is the mind. The hardware we understand is the brain. And the software, like the mind, is just not physical. And you can add and remove software from a computer and it won't make any difference in the weight.
That's right.
Now you can change hardware and it's going to change the weight.
Yeah, that's right.
But if the software, it's not going to change the amount of weight. And so you understand that in our society today, and the doctors today, you can go to the doctor for a stub toe and they're trying to put you on anxiety drugs.
That's right.
Have you ever been depressed? Well, absolutely. Is that abnormal? Is that abnormal? Hey, just be honest. Hey, it's not strange. It's not weird. You don't have a problem if you have a bad day. I mean, hey, everybody gets discouraged from time to time. Hey, everybody gets beat up from time to time. Hey, but that don't mean I need a pill. But hey, you believe me, they're going to be pushing it. Hey, you try. You know exactly what I'm talking about. If you've been to the doctor lately and they told you to fill out all that mess on there, and now you've got all these things they want to know, and they want to try to find out what kind of pills they can push on you. Listen to me. The thing about those drugs, and listen, I'm not a doctor today, and I'm not telling you what to do. And listen, you listen to your doctor, if you will. But I'm telling you, this is being pushed and it's being jammed. But let me tell you what it's doing. It's numbing our nation. Hey, listen to me. I'm talking about, no doubt, 50% of our churches. And you're not a bad person if you're here today and a doctor has instructed you in that manner.
That's right.
That doesn't make you a bad person. And some people, hey, you need to be sensitive to what your doctor said. God used doctors. But I'd be careful about just going to the doctor because I was a little discouraged and let him put me on a medicine that's going to numb me. I had a man tell me that was on that medicine. He said, I could watch my mother being backed over by a car and killed and then run back over. And he said, I wouldn't even shed a tear. You know what they've done, right? They took all the narcotics away. And you know what they gave them? You got it. It's exactly what they gave them. The psychotropic drugs, the anxiety drugs, to numb them. It doesn't take away the pain, but it makes you not care too much. Sitting around drooling on yourself or whatever the case may be. And I'm just saying to you today, people are lying to people. And I'm telling you today, hey, before you ever decide that you're going to do that, I'd at least go and get alone with God and begin to fast and pray and say, hey, God, if there's something in my heart and in my life that's causing this anxiousness, that's causing this turmoil in our heart and in our head, God, I'm going to fast and pray. And God, if there's something in my life that shouldn't be there that's causing this, will you put your finger on it? And if you do, God, I'll get rid of it. That'd take care of the most of the problem, but it's easier to pop a pill. And listen, I'm not here to give you a hard time today, but I'm going to tell you some things that I do know. And one thing I do know, if you're on those drugs or you get on those drugs one day, you will get diabetes. It's not a matter of if you're going to get it, it's a matter of when you're going to get it. You don't have to believe me if you don't want to. You'll experience it because it's 100% fact. And it's just a reality. But this is contaminating and it's hurting people. But I think too many Christians are just got sin in their life. They got things in their life that should not be there. And they're trying to live a Christian life with joy and happiness. But they got one foot in the world. Hey, they're listening to the world's music. And they're watching the world shows. And they wonder why they have no peace. And the only way to get peace is to take a pill. They believe if you take the right pill, we can cure your brain and the problem will go away. But we all know that ain't true. Because you know what they want to do? They want to add to it. They want to up the dose and they want to add another medicine to it. Hey, if something's working, you don't need to keep adding to it. You need to be taken away from it. I mean, if it's working, use it, get it off of it. Hey, but when you got to keep upping it and keep adding it, something ain't working. Amen. Something ain't working. But the reason these doctors and psychiatrists think it's a hardware problem in your brain is because our society does not accept the spiritual realm. But too bad, it's a reality. And whatever may be going on between your ears, it's not always a hardware problem. Sometimes it's a software problem. Sometimes it's just a sin problem. Amen. Sometimes it's a hormone problem. Yeah, sometimes, hey, there are problems. There are issues. But listen, hey, my wife and I, when we come to the realization today, we just go and get our own blood work and do our own analysis and diagnose ourselves and take care of ourselves. Hey, listen, we have the technology today to do all that. We have the information to do all of that today. Hey, don't take somebody else's word for it.
Amen.
So maybe your problem is physical, maybe your problem is spiritual, I don't know. But we all have both problems from time to time.
Amen.
And you need to change the programming. You need to change the software, if you will. Unless you understand, we got to change our thinking and to be transformed by the renewing of our mind.
Amen.
What's the Bible say? We wrestle not against flesh and blood. So who's our fight with? Not with people. Too many times people are preventing us from getting close to God the way we should. Sometimes it's just, maybe it's just a separation from some sin. Maybe it's a separation from somebody. Maybe somebody's causing turmoil in your heart and in your head. But we overcome destructive thinking, wrong thinking, The Bible says, take every thought captive. Make your thinking obedient to Christ. And you're in charge. You're in control. You know, too, we are in a weak-minded generation today. I mean, people just quit on everything. They just, I mean, get their feelings hurt about everything. And we know mostly because truth is falling in the street. And most people are so far removed from truth that everything offends everybody. I mean, our family, our church members, all right, we're just trying to help, but it's offensive. Because truth is falling in the street. But how do we take our thoughts captive? And I will try to just transition and give you a couple of applicable things maybe today. But if you go in your Bibles to Romans chapter 12. Man. Romans chapter 12. There's so much to be said about the subject. I sure would hope that you would go and study, not take anybody's word, and that you'd go get in the presence of the Holy Ghost, and you make sure that there's not any sin in your heart and in your life, that you just come clean with God, and you just get honest with God and let God... Hey, all God's done for us, we owe it to Him to go ask Him what He wants us to do before we go listen to what the doctor says. Hey, don't we owe that to Him? I mean, we owe that to God, to go to Him first and allow Him to say yes or no. And you know what He might say? Go to the doctor. But we ought to give Him the right to tell us what to do. We are His. But look what the Bible says. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Look what He said. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Listen, if you want to capture your thoughts, if you want to get your mind, then you know what you're going to have to do? You're going to have to present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable for God. And that you go in the morning, and the first thing you do is you go get in the presence of God, and you tell God, I got to give you my mind. And God, I'm going to put it on this altar. And God, this mind's going to think things it shouldn't think of, God, if you don't take control of it today. God, I give you my eyes. And God, I ask you to control everything. If you don't guard what I see today, I'm going to see some things that's going to affect me. And God, I give you my tongue. I present it on the altar, a living sacrifice. And God, if you don't help me with my tongue today, I'm in trouble. I'm going to mess up if you don't help me today. And then my heart and my emotion and my gut, all the way down to my hands and feet. And we present our bodies a living sacrifice to our God and present it to Him. Hey, let me tell you something. You're not going to be able to control your mind if you don't go get in the presence of God and present your body a living sacrifice, knowing that you can't do it without His help, and laying it on the altar and asking for His help. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies. That's what He said to do. He said, that's our reasonable service. He said, that's our reasonable service. So number one, I would say to you this morning, we need to learn to capture our thoughts. You need to learn to capture your thoughts. It's so important. And what's control the thoughts that come into our head? And listen, when things come in our head that is past mistakes and past sin, hey, if you've already been to God and got that thing right, according to Hebrews, He don't even remember it anymore. He says, our sins and iniquities will He remember no more. I think in Hebrews chapter 10 or somewhere around there. So when that comes back up in your head, that's not God. That's not God. That's a simple mind, or that's the adversary putting something in your head. But we must control it. And listen, when things come into your head that should not come into your head, hey, you can't even think about it. Where did that come from? You ought to cast it out. You ought to kick it out. You ought to throw it out. Hey, you ought to do whatever you got to do. You may have to break out and sing in a song. You may have to quote scripture. Hey, it doesn't matter what you do. Hey, pick up the phone and make a phone call when you run out of scripture. But you don't allow that to sit on you. You don't allow that to come into your head. You cast it right back out. Because I'm telling you, God's forgiven you. He's forgotten about it. It's not Him. It's the old adversary trying to put that in your head and trying to put that in your heart. Hey, only you can do it. Hey, mama can't do it. Daddy cannot do this for you. This is one-on-one. You and the adversary. This is you and God. Philippians chapter 4 commands it, don't it? Doesn't he? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true. You know, you ought to come up with an acronym of some kind before we open our mouth, before we open our mind to let stuff in, that we ought to check.
Yeah.
We ought to check stuff.
Yes,
man, is this even true? Well, I'm not sure. All right, beat it. You're out.
Yeah.
Well, I'm not sure. It don't matter. I don't know, and I ain't got time to figure it out. You're out. I'm not allowing you in. You're not getting any ground. You're not setting up any ground. Hey, listen, past sin, mistake, things that just put in your head, that the adversary put in your head, stuff you had never even thought about before in your life, and the adversary puts that in there. Hey, if you're not careful, you'll start wondering where that came from, and you'll start thinking about that, and you'll start talking about that. But I tell you, what you ought to do is just run it out of there just as fast as it came in. Hey, don't think about it for just a second. I mean, you gotta get rid of it. You ought to have you a few pet songs that you break out and sing when it comes along. You ought to have a handful of verses that you start quoting and quote them out loud. He'll get to running. He won't hang around for that. He'll get moving. I promise. You start singing about the blood of Jesus Christ. You start quoting scripture. Hey, this is a real problem today. It's a real problem today. People are struggling today between their ears.
Yes, sir.
Things have happened and affected people and hurt people, and people's lives have been damaged. But I'm telling you right now that if you're God's child, you're never going to touch hell. And He said that He would watch over you and protect you. And He said if that stuff comes in your head that should not come in your head, He said run it out. He said cast it out. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. Run it out. Confront your thoughts. Capture your thoughts, if you will, and identify this is wicked. And then run it out. Cast it away. Refuse it. Numbers 2 next here. Learn to refuse. Just learn to refuse it. Just learn to refuse. You know, it's a good day in our life when we just learn to say no. We just practice at home sometimes with our kids. Let me see how this sounds. No. I mean, it's good. It's good for all of us. You know what? When we want to go back for seconds, it's good to tell ourselves, hey, no. It's okay to tell yourself no every now and again. You don't want anybody else telling you no. Well, if you tell yourself no, nobody else would have to tell you no, right? That's what I say anyhow. This is simple but not easy. This is extremely simple. But if you embark on this challenge and what we're talking about today, that you go get in the presence of God and you get through your day and have a sound mind by the time you get to the end of the day, and you have joy in your heart and you have peace in your heart. Hey, this peace that comes is peace that passes all understanding. We can't figure it out. We don't understand it. We're in a crazy world. But we're overflowed with joy and happiness as a child of God. Hey, I can't understand it. I can't understand it, but I recognize where it comes from. Let me just close by saying, we ought to focus our thoughts on the here and now. You know what we do a lot of times? We spend a lot of time thinking about the past and rehashing the past. And I wish I wouldn't have done that. And if I'd have done this different, if I'd have done that different, if I'd have made this decision, you can't worry about what you can't change. Nobody in here got a time machine. Nobody's going back to yesterday. Nobody.
That's right.
Nobody. And you know what we ought to do? We ought to not worry about what we can't change. We ought not to worry what we can't do anything about. And listen, if it's in the past, let it go. You say, well, you don't know how I was hurt. I understand. Hey, people have been hurt. Everybody in this building today has been hurt. Listen, everybody in this building has been hurt. Everybody has been hurt. Some respond properly and some don't. But we all are hurt. I know that if you're not, if the person that says I'm not part of this anymore, listen, they just got hurt and couldn't get over it. We all got hurt. We just got over it. We all got offended. We just got over it. We all recognize, hey, it's the best rut. It's the best ditch to be in. We're just going to stay. And you know what? I've made mistakes. They've made mistakes. I've sinned against people. People sinned against me. And you know what? I'm just going to let it go. And you know what? It's in the past, and I'm not going to worry about the past, and I'm not going to worry about what I can't change. But what I am going to do, if that thought comes, some thoughts come into my head that should not going to be there, I'm going to capture them things. I'm going to throw a net around them, if you will. I'm going to grab them, and I'm going to forcibly throw them out.
Amen.
And the way I'm going to do that is by quoting scripture.
Yes, sir.
What I'm going to do that by is breaking out and singing the songs of Zion.
Amen.
Hey, whatever.
Yeah.
It don't make any difference, whatever. Pick up a phone and make a phone call. But you have to understand, that's like a serpent.
Yep.
That's a deadly snake. And if you're not careful and you think about that, that could jerk your joy out right from underneath you today.
Amen.
Or you can say, you know what, I'm not doing that.
Amen.
I'm not doing that. I'm in control of here. I'm the high sheriff of the mine. I'm in charge of this and nobody else's job to throw him out.
Yeah.
So I'm going to throw him out. Yeah. And realize it is your responsibility and we ought to focus on now. Hey, learn to embrace now.
Amen.
Spend too much time holding on to the past, but we ought to embrace the things.
Yeah.
We ought not to embrace the things that we can't change. If we can't change it, we got to let it go.
Yes, sir. That's right.
Don't waste strength and don't waste energy fighting things that you have no control over.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes you'll have some things come in your life and you'll ask God to do something about it. It's a tough day when we accept it as His will.
Yeah.
That's hard for us to succumb to that. That, you know, okay, maybe this is your will. I'm not really ready to quit praying. I'm not really ready to give up. I'm not really ready to say, okay, that this is something I'm going to carry. But man, that's a tough time.
Yeah.
That's a tough time when we have to embrace things that, listen, we can't change.
Yes, sir. Yeah. Yep. Yes, sir.
Hey, the grass isn't greener on the other side.
Yep.
The grass isn't greener on the other side. Hey, the spouse that you have, it ought to be the spouse you embrace.
Amen.
It ought to be the spouse you hold on to.
Oh, yeah.
And realize, hey, the grass isn't greener on the other side.
Amen.
Hey, it's not any better.
Amen.
God's given you God's perfect will for your life. And you know what? You may be through a tough patch, but I'm telling you today that you ought to embrace it and recognize, hey, this is my church. This is my life. This is my family. This is where I'm at. And you know what? I'm not going to run from it. I'm going to embrace it. And you know what? If things come in that should not come in, I'm going to cast them out. I'm going to hurl them out. I love that Philippians chapter 4, that casting. That casting. He's talking about, you know, we know that's prayer, right? We're coming to God and we're asking God to help us cast this stuff out of our head and out of our heart and out of our life. He says to cast it, to pitch it, to fling it, to throw it. Or as Paul, shake it off. Just shake it off. And you know what? Sometimes you'll be like, man, where did that come from? I've never thought that before in my life. Where did that come from? The adversary is the prince and the power of the air. He's got access to put things in our head that are not even true. But let me tell you something, you're in charge of that. You're in charge. You're in the captain's seat. You're in the chair, and you're going to decide what you let in, what you receive, what you chew on, and what you take and pitch out and throw out. You're in charge. It's nobody else's responsibility. It's you and God said, I will help you.
Amen.
Let me just close with 1 Samuel chapter 18. 1 Samuel chapter 18. First Samuel 18 in your Bible, beginning in verse 5. I'm just going to read for sake of time. The Bible says, and David went out whithersoever Saul sent him and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war, and he was accepted in the sight of all the people. And also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass as they came when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all the cities of Israel, singing and dancing, to meet King Saul with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, they have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. But what can he have more but the kingdom? Look at verse 10 then. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul. And he prophesied in the midst of the house, and David played with his hand as his other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And you know what happened? Saul let jealousy get in between his ears. And you know what, Saul? David loves you. You know what, Saul? David would shed his blood for you. David, hey, Saul, David loves you. He would fight for you. He cares about you. But you're out of your mind.
Amen.
You're out of your mind. You're out of your mind.
That's right.
And listen, I don't know where you're at today. I don't know if it's a pride. I don't know if it's a jealousy or an envy or a bitterness or unforgiveness. You're in control.
Amen.
Listen to me. Go back to the verse 10. Go back to verse 10. And it came to pass on the morrow. I think the book says don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
Yeah, that's right.
And you know what happened? He went to bed with it.
Yes, sir.
He went to bed with it. Hey, the book said don't let the sun go down on your wrath.
Yes,
and I'm telling you today, if God has put his finger on something we're talking about here today, I'd encourage you, now that you've heard the truth, because we're accountable once we hear the truth, that you would take and cast it out today, that you'd get rid of it today, that you would let it go today, that you would get victory in your mind today, and don't let the sun go down.
Yep.
Hey, don't let the sun go down. Hey, God may put something on you, soap and water won't take off.
Yep.
Hey, you may get put up on a shelf. It may be over, because God's given you ample opportunity, and it's going on and going on and going on. But what you going to do? Are you going to present your body a living sacrifice? Because I don't care who you are. If we don't present our body a living sacrifice, we can't make it. I mean, if we don't turn it over to him and just surrender, hey, I can't do it without your help. And if you don't help me, everybody's in trouble.
Yes, sir.
Everybody in my life's in trouble if you don't show up and help me today.
You're right.
Because I'm going to say some dumb stuff. I'm going to think some dumb stuff. I'm going to go some dumb places. I'm going to make some serious mistakes if I don't get your help.
That's right.
And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit, from who?
God.
From God. You got an opportunity to get it right today.
Yeah.
You got an opportunity to deal with it today. You got an opportunity to do something about it today. It ain't worth holding on to.
Amen.
It ain't worth holding on to. I've never seen anything like it. You know, people are emotional. I'm just telling you, people are emotional. And you know, it's like the old adversary just puts stuff in people's mind.
Yeah.
We all got a bunch of friends, and a bunch of friends have a bunch of meetings, and we want to go to all of them.
Yeah.
But our schedule wouldn't allow that. Yeah. But the schedule allowed this. Well, they like them better than they like me. Yeah, we're all laughing. We're all laughing. That's where we're at. Listen, you know why? Because we let the adversary get in our mind. And you didn't turn around and field goal kick him and throw him right back out of there. And listen, if you run him out of there and he stays a while, all you got to do is start quoting scripture, singing about the blood of Jesus Christ. I promise you, he'll be shagging out real soon. But it's your choice. It's your decision today. Are you going to let the sun go down in your wrath? Are you going to hold on to that bitterness, that jealousy, that unforgiveness, that pride? You going to hold on to it today?
Good.
Or are you going to bring it to the Lord, and then when you do, present your body to him?
Yeah.
It's your decision today, preacher.
Give an invitation.
If you would stand. Let the instrumentalists come and prepare for the invitation. I realized we were all over the place and tried to say a lot in a little bit of time. But hopefully you can relate, because I think we're all in this battle of fighting our minds. There's so many things pulling on us, so many things influencing, so many things are coming in our eye gate and our ear gate all day. Too much, just overloaded with information, and we're not careful, we'll become vexed. Our righteous soul become vexed. Who is it today? Who is it just needs to come? Maybe you're doing well today. Maybe you're on top side today, and maybe you got a good handle, you got a good healthy mind today. Hey, you know what you ought to do? You ought to be on the altar thanking God. Because I'm telling you, the attack's coming. The attack's coming. He can't get you and take you to hell with him, but if he can mess you up real good in your mind, he'll say, you know what, that'll be all right. Second blessed. It's better than nothing at all. Would you make a commitment today that you would vow that every single morning before you left your house,
that you would present your body a living sacrifice. And maybe it is that you stayed up half the night and you didn't get up in time, but it doesn't matter. And when I get in that car or wherever I'm going, as soon as I get alone, I'm going to present my body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. And I'm going to give it to Him, and I'm going to turn it over to Him, and I'm going to expect Him to help me.